The Pep Talk episode. I'm recording this because selfishly I need this 10 months into being, well, less, 4.5 months into being pregnant, but 10 months into being in a spiral of unhealthier habits and not my usual lifestyle because of multiple reasons. And I've decided to record this episode because, like I say, I need the pep talk and a lot of my clients currently need it too. And so this is about how to get back onto the horse, get back into healthier routines. And I've got some tips that I'll take you through. And I want to just start off by saying we need to get used to this. We need to get used to how to reset, how to recalibrate, because that's the reality of life. I know a lot of you are mothers as well, and really career driven or ambitious, and you've got a lot on your plate. There are so many external circumstances that are constantly impacting our health journey. So the quicker we get used to the fact that it's never going to be smooth sailing, and if we can get comfortable with the uncomfortable, as hard as that is, but there's a reason why surrendering works and how we need to go with the flow. And if we can get comfortable with that in the periods of, okay, today it's going to be a better day, it's going to be a better week, I'm going to try my best, these are my non-negotiables in terms of, you know, steps or water intake or just eating meals versus snacks. That's a big one for me currently. If we can just get used to that recalibration and make peace with it, I promise you, you're going to get to your health goals a lot quicker or get back into a healthier routine. So before I get to the tips, the three things that I want you to stop doing that will guarantee that you get back into healthier routine, exercise, better eating, etc., I just want to give you some context to where I'm at, which will make it very clear as to what inspired this episode. And that is that life has been really actually intense lately. I'm a very optimistic and positive person, and there's a lot that in my life has been going well, and business has been amazing. I absolutely love what I do. I'm living in a small town called Potchefstroom, 1.5 hours from Johannesburg, where a lot of our friends are based in Joburg. We actually Cape Townians, so of course our biggest support network and family are in Cape Town. But life is good here. We've got friends here, a very small, close group of friends. Dis 'n rustige lewe, like plaas, platteland, rustige lewe. So I can't complain in that department, but where I can complain, just blessings aside, just to be a lot more transparent with you listening, because this is information I don't share on social media, because when we're all having a shitty time, the last thing that we want to do is, you know, filming a video of ourselves crying and posting it online. I mean, some people do that. That's just not my cup of tea. And my pregnancy, okay, rewinding back, I never spoke about my horrible miscarriage experience. But at the end of 2025, I'm going to just summarize it. I had a miscarriage, and I didn't have bleeding that made me realize I was having a miscarriage. I went for a scan, and quite an early scan because we were traveling. So it was about a 6-week scan. And what was meant to be a scan that we saw the baby's heartbeat, there was no heartbeat yet. But the doctor was quite optimistic because it was quite early on. He said, come back in 2 days, but let's also do your bloods. Did my bloods. My HCG was really high, and because of that, he believed I was further along pregnant and we should have seen a heartbeat. So 2 days later, when I went back, I went on my own. My husband was traveling for work, as he often does, and he was about 4 hours away from Potch, and there was no heartbeat. And I went into that with quite a dark feeling, that appointment. Not to say that, you know, I could envision what was going to happen, but there was this feeling of fear, of course, that we all have during these sort of certain moments like pregnancy. And my doctor started crying and he held me, and then I started crying. I'm going to cry again just reliving this experience. And to summarize what happened was, like, it was a whirlwind from there, because absolute tears, phoned my family, my closest friends, telling them, first of all, I'm pregnant, because I hadn't told them yet. I was hoping to have the scan and then fly down to Cape Town that following week and tell them in person. Had to call them, tell them, listen, I was pregnant, I had a miscarriage. And so that was quite a traumatic ordeal. Got home, asked my au pair, can she help tonight, because Rocco has to drive back and take me to the hospital. I need to get a DNC. It all happened so quickly. And that evening, he had driven back immediately when I phoned him. He left the work golf event, and drove back, picked me up, and we went straight to the hospital. And that's when it, like, dawned on me, gosh, I'm being wheeled into theater pregnant, and I'm going to be wheeled out not pregnant anymore. And it was traumatic, but I also felt that I was very accepting, and, you know, A-type personality, put all my efforts back into work and things that I can control. And then 6 weeks later, so I had a doctor's appointment, and my gynae had basically said everything's going well, but, you know, you are older, you're wanting to fall pregnant again, let's just get your cycle going, because my cycle hadn't started naturally. I had some bleeding that, like, started stopped, and he wanted to put me on Provera, that, like, fake progesterone that gets your cycle going again. So I was on that, and from day three of being on Provera, I started bleeding, and it started to be like a very heavy bleeding, which was apparently normal, and I was in contact with my doctor the entire time. And about 5 days later, the bleeding got so bad. I was 60-60ing pads, because I'd gone through a whole night pack of, like, heavy flow pads within 30 minutes. And that's when I knew something was not right. Although, again, heavy bleeding is normal and blood clots are normal. And the blood clots were also really intense. I mean, I was in a shopping mall a day prior and had to try and penguin walk my way to the bathroom because of blood clots. So this is a lot of information. That's TMI, and I should really put a disclosure at the beginning of this, but which I'll quickly do. Note to self. So anyways, then that evening, the doctor said, no, get yourself to the med clinic. He's away, but get myself to the med clinic. I told Rocco, listen, unless you're sleeping, I'm going to drive myself. I'm 100% fine. And we thought it would be okay. It's like less than a 10-minute drive to the hospital. And I got into the car, and as I started driving, I started feeling really faint and heart palpitations, feeling really outside of myself. Called him. He was on speaker. And I just said, I'm not going to make it. And that's the last thing he heard from me. And I was still thankfully in our estate just before security. And what had happened, I turned the car around to drive back home. And as I turned the car around, everything in front of me went black and I was dizzy. I stopped the car and I climbed out, and I was about to faint and hit the pavement, or the cement road. We were in the road, actually. And a gentleman caught my head, and Rocco was on the speakerphone in the car, and he started speaking to him. And all I heard was, like, in seconds, don't worry, Muniwarini, your man is upat. Don't worry, your husband's on his way. And less than a minute, Rocco was there. They loaded me into the bucky. This gentleman took my car back to the house. Rocco went in to fetch Alessio out of bed. And now we don't have, like, the closest friend here, like, in terms of proximity to me, is my neighbor, but she was away. So we had no one else to, like, step in and help. So we woke up Alessio, took him to the hospital, and I was passing out in the bucky. On our way to the hospital, wheeled around the hospital from theater, like, no, not theater, ward two to emergency to maternity ward, literally the politics, of course, of a hospital and trying to get paperwork done and different people saying I must be in different areas. Cut a long story short, that was a really traumatic ordeal and forced me to really mourn the loss of what we later found out was going to be a baby girl. And so health-wise, my body just craved carbs, carbohydrates and snacks and no real meals, no nourishment. A lot of things still made me nauseous. And 2 months later, I went into the third pregnancy. So my body had changed so much. I mean, I had put on quite a lot of weight naturally with that pregnancy and then postpartum and then hormones doing its thing and water retention and you name it. And of course, my strength training, I took a bit of a back seat and I wasn't doing any cardio. I wasn't doing anything too strenuous and really listening to my body in that department, getting as much sleep as I could. And then the new year kicked off after the festive season and I was pregnant and nausea was hell. It wasn't to the extent that a lot of my friends have had, where they've had, I can't remember that condition that you call, where you nauseous throughout your entire pregnancy. I haven't had that with my pregnancies, but I did have a very nauseous, shitty time. And again, my weight fluctuated very quickly. To be honest, I looked very pregnant very early on because, of course, my body had just... I mean, the second pregnancy was a year and a half after my first one. So everything just kind of expanded back into place. And third pregnancy, things were showing very quickly. So from an emotional point of view, I mean, gosh, this pregnancy has been wild as it is. Ups and downs, fears about the future, things I can't control, very nauseous feelings, and literally the meals that I've been having, the amount of just like sourdough and butter and salt or avo on sourdough, oh my gosh, I feel like that right now. It's just consumed my life, has been carbohydrates, survival, workout when I can. And I have not felt that great in this pregnancy. The first pregnancy, I mean, it was my first one. And because of circumstances and environment, I was doing a bio session a week, a personal one-on-one Pilates reformer session per week. I was seeing a chiro. I was doing my own strength training. I was doing swimming. Gosh, it's exhausting just thinking back what I did. But that was the season I was at. And I was capable and able to do that. And this pregnancy has been nothing like that. So that's enough of context where I'm at. A lot of you are beyond your pregnancies and just trying to get into better shape, but life also keeps throwing a whole bunch of obstacles your way. There's a particular few of you that I know that work has been incredibly stressful. How things have changed in 2026, just in terms of retrenchments, agency life suffering, a lot of AI and tech taking over positions and roles. So I know a lot of people that have lost their jobs, and then financial pressure because everything's so expensive and inflation and everything that's just changed in terms of petrol and war. It's been a crazy 2026, the year of the fire horse. And I thought the year of the snake was wild. So here are my three things that I want you to focus on not doing. And I actually hate doing episodes or content around what not to do, but this really helped me get the new month off to a good start and actually make peace with the shitty past and move forward. My favorite Afrikaans saying, fok voort. So the three things not to do. Number one, stop reflecting on the past. Your younger, tighter skin, better season, whether it was your wedding and honeymoon or pre-kids or 20s. I know all of you have got these moments of, gosh, if only I'd appreciated my body, my strength, my capabilities then. You need to stop reflecting on the past. It's irrelevant. One day we are all going to be in our 80s, and right now where we are at, the shitstorm and all that we're going through is going to be moments that we wish we cherished and enjoyed more. So number one is stop reflecting on the past. It is 100% preventing you from getting to your goal and moving forward. Number two, comparison. Of course, we always talk about comparison to others when we are feeling in a really, we're not feeling great, we're in a shitty mood, things are going really badly, and our self-image is not as strong and positive as it should be. We are comparing ourselves to others online and what not with the entire picture. And it's really, really preventing you again from getting to your goal. It's preventing you from progression. So not only number one, reflecting on your past, number two, comparison, to tie it in, comparing yourself to a previous version of yourself. These two are key in stop doing it, because it leads me to number three. All of this takes us to self-sabotage. And I mean, client after client, myself, I've experienced it in the past. Self-sabotage is this wicked spiral that we almost like loathe but love at the same time, and we keep falling back into that pattern. It's just human nature. It's just what we do when we're hard on ourselves, but it's not going to get you to feeling better and more confident in your body. So if you can stop these three things, especially the spiral of getting yourself to self-sabotage, I promise you, your life, your health will be so much richer. So I just want to leave you at that. Fok voort, and rather focus on the things that you can control. Every day you can tell yourself, today's going to be better. Not the Monday I'm starting new because I've had a shitstorm of a weekend. That's different. And that's where I draw the line, because a lot of you like to self-sabotage on the weekend or on a holiday, and then tell yourselves while you're self-sabotaging, tomorrow's going to be different. Monday, I'm going to start this. I'm going to do this in the new week or the new month, and I'm going to eliminate all of this. And that's where the sort of restriction mindset comes in, and this extreme mindset comes in, which then in the moment, while you're promising yourself that, makes the self-sabotage so much worse. So I'm going to leave you with that, and I'll record another episode of what to do instead. But in the meantime, go to previous episodes. If you've got a holiday coming up, Ash and I recorded an amazing one, which was actually over the festive season, but relevant and applicable to any long weekend away or any holiday that you're coming up. Really great tips there. And then we've got another episode where I focus purely on sugar and resetting your taste buds. That is key for me, because during these moments of this pregnancy, I've been eating a lot more sugar than usual. I've managed to cut mostly sugar out of my life, refined sugar. I'm not talking about like the odd eating out, and there's of course sugar in the sauces and the spices, etc. But that's a game changer for me, because that all goes back to belly fat. Whenever I've struggled in my life with belly fat and a higher fat percentage, it's been because there's been more sugar in my diet, which has made me make poorer decisions. I am addicted to it. I can admit it. Most of us are. That's just the way we're wired, and that's just biology and science put together. So cutting the sugar, listen to that episode. That will also really, really help you with your health and strength journey. That's that. And if you enjoyed the episode, please also make sure that you subscribed, as well as to our newsletters. Our newsletters are delivered weekly on a Friday. We really get personal and try and add as much value to your life. So subscribe to those, and I'll check you in the next episodes. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you for listening.